Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CashFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, June 4th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or visit slingbox.com/twit. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And behind the board is our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I haven't come up with new adjectives for you. I'm sorry.
I don't mind excellent, but we can come up with
something. We'll keep excellent for a while. This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day, try to make sense of it all. And joining us to help in that effort is Ayaz Akhtar, formerly of such shows as Channel Flip Web and Tech V, and currently looking for a job. So you can at reply job offers to twitter.com/Ayaz.
Totally do that. I'm available for bar mitzvahs and birthdays and maybe even tech reporting.
What do you do? Oh, you do tech reporting at bar mitzvahs?
That's what I do, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a niche thing, but I know my niche.
We got to wish a happy birthday to the VHS.
Happy birthday, VHS, or Video Home System, as it was affectionately
yes, because
named
we're not really that familiar with it anymore, so we should treat it
What's
with the respect
VHS?
It deserves.
You know, I have to point out, since we are happy birthday in VHS, that we did miss Betamax's 32nd birthday
on
May
10th. I'm so embarrassed. Yeah.
Which was just about a month ago. So
I didn't get it anything.
I know.
I got it a mini disc, but
did
it
you?
Didn't really want
well,
but see, that's the whole story, right? We're always overlooking Betamax.
Betamax.
In favor of VHS.
VHS. I still have a VHS machine. I don't really have any reason to use it anymore, but I've still got one. The Betamaxes have gone by the wayside, but back in the day, I don't know about you guys, but we were a Betamax family.
Really?
I remember when the video store had one side was Beta, one side was VHS.
And then there were, like today, there's Windows and Mac. Then there was also the Linux people. Those were the Laserdisc people. you know what? This makes me realize my brother was born in the same year as VHS. He's going to be 30 this year.
Well, maybe you ought to wish him a happy birthday.
I'll remember that in October. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
He's
mental
the VHS
note.
Kid.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was born of VHS.
So happy birthday, outdated tape system.
And
we hardly knew you.
Born today is the HTC Evo.
Yay!
Well, yay. Yeah, exactly.
I haven't really said anything nice about the Evo, but
I stopped by a Best Buy on the way here, and I figured I wasn't going to be able to just walk in and get one. I didn't make an appointment or anything, but I thought, well, I just want to check it out. There were four people waiting. two of them were sitting at a desk. They had two Evo stations.
It was a designated Evo place to
sit. Yeah, there were two stations. They said HTC Evo 1, HTC Evo Stations 2. There were four. Kind of sitting there like this.
Yeah. DMV styles.
Yeah, DMV style, head on their hands. And the attendants were on the phone. And someone looked at me and was like, yeah, their computers are melting down at Sprint. But apparently this happens a lot at Best Buy with big launches.
What, that people don't show up?
We don't know. Well, no, that the computer system melts down.
Right.
There were two other people waiting at a table with, you know, even more of that DMV style look that you're talking about.
I was there recently.
The thing that did impress me, though, is I said, well, I didn't make an appointment. What are my chances of getting one? They'll say, we'll take a $50 deposit, but it will be 3 weeks before we can deliver one to you.
Well, that doesn't sound very Apple friendly. You know, you go into Apple, you got the crowds and the cheering.
How would this become about Apple?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, if you compare it to the launch day for some other devices, I'm not naming devices.
I gotcha.
I'm just saying, it sounds a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, you don't get the embarrassing applause when you buy an Evo, which I consider a plus, actually.
you can just slink in and out of Best Buy. No one sees the purchase you're making.
Yeah, no one sees.
May have to sit there.
You're going to have to sit there for an hour, so they'll wonder what you're doing. But
right.
Yeah.
Well, the Best Buy experience overall is so nice. It's so pleasant, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of sweaty people hanging around.
It depends,
around
on, which, depends
totally
on which one you go
being
in.
Sarcastic.
Yeah. There's the one I went to, which is exactly like what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then there are others that are actually really good.
Are they?
It depends on the location.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it does.
HTC Evo already has a 4G storage bug. It involves the 8 GB micro SD card that comes with it. Reports around the internet say they're getting insufficient file permissions when they try to write to it. However, Sprint is quick with an over-the-air update being pushed already. So if you buy an Evo, make sure that you're getting that over-the-air update. It includes fixes not only to the storage bug, but also to a security vulnerability that allows root access, which some people were touting not as a security vulnerability, as like, woohoo, I can flash ROMs on this thing.
Yeah, exactly. There were some reports around the internet saying, listen, this is really bad. You know, Android apps can get information from your phone. You don't want this. You don't want to buy this phone. We're recommending that you don't. It sounds like, you know, there's a patch that fixes that, but it also disables you from doing a lot of fun stuff. Some people like the fun stuff.
The fun stuff, putting Android 2.2 on there, because I think with Sprint, you have to pay, what, $30 to make it a Wi-Fi hotspot?
Yeah, something like that a month.
So yeah. I think it's $30 a month.
Yeah.
Which is a bunch of bunk.
Right, so if you rooted it and put your own version of Android out there, blow out the Sense UI, then you could make it a hotspot for free.
That's
true of most phones, right? Good point. Google is relenting. Actually, they're not really relenting. They're going to deliver the Wi-Fi data to Germany, France, and Spain. This is data that they collected, they say, accidentally while they were driving around with the Google Maps Street View car, because there was a mistake in the program that they were using. It was supposed to just collect SSIDs, and instead it collected any unencrypted packets that
were flying
around.
Which just goes to show that all those angry people that got snapped every once in a while with the Street View, maybe we're onto something. You're taking my private download data.
You're taking my soul.
Because I'm on an open network.
Yeah, because I didn't properly encrypt
because
my Wi-Fi access
encryption
point.
Doesn't make sense. So they're not really relenting. They had just said initially, listen, let's think about what we're doing here.
They weren't sure that they weren't violating the law by handing it over.
So Germany, France, and Spain, Google's going to give them the information, which it causes me to wonder what the countries are going to do with the information. I personally am not that bent out of shape about Google having that stuff of mine. My country has it. What do they want with it?
Yeah.
It feels a little sinister.
Do you have any ideas, Iaz, why they would want this?
Well, I mean, there's only 600 gigabytes of data throughout the entire world of data they have on this. So I don't know how much data they actually got on any one person, if you think about it.
Right.
I mean, if you have multiple countries, these are three, sure, they'll prosecute Google. But, I mean, are they going to get people for file sharing? I don't think they're going to bother with all the resources it would take to find out, okay, SSID, Linksys, belongs to this house over here, and we're going to get them for
downloading some horrible song. Yeah, this guy cussed in an email. Although, you know, I read the story and I kind of went, well, okay, so Google has this information. I mean, why didn't they just trash it? You know, Google doesn't seem to care.
Yeah, right.
You know, so what does it matter? Why did it get to be such a big deal? One country seems to agree.
Exactly. We got an email from Ankh in Ireland. He said, nations across Europe demand snooped information from Google. Ireland just says delete it.
Get it out of there.
I think we win this round, right? I think you do.
Ankh in Ireland, proud to be Irish today. Go us.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm proud to be Irish, too.
The Jamesons is on Iaz.
That's right.
Business Insider has a really interesting story about AOL and Microsoft, possibly some kind of merger. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, I want to tell you this episode is brought to you by Slingbox. Slingbox lets you watch your home TV. You've heard of me going on about it all week, but it works the same way in every other episode that I've mentioned it. on any portable device, iPhone, iPod Touch, BlackBerry, laptop, MacBook. What you do, you go to, say, a Best Buy, purchase a Slingbox, bring it home. You hook up your Slingbox to your TV and internet connection. Then you watch your TV on your mobile phone or laptop wherever you go. It's your TV with you wherever. There's no like, oh, Hulu deleted the past episodes before 5. There's no, oh, I'm not allowed to watch this in this area. You get your home TV wherever you are, wherever you get an internet connection, including everything on your DVR. So check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you, or check it out at slingbox.com/twit. So this Business Insider story is, say, they have a source.
They have an unnamed source that's very vague, as sources tend to be.
Right. Unnamed sources generally are vague.
Right. Still, it's annoying because you read this thing and you go, I mean, you could have just made up the story out of nothing saying, listen, it was my source.
This supposed source, which we can only assume is Tom Cruise. has said that the strategy of Tim Armstrong, CEO of AOL, in saying that they're looking to negotiate a new search deal. Right now they have Google as their search partner. The strategy in this negotiation is to eventually be acquired by someone. And the writer, Nicholas Carlson, goes on to say that probably the best bet here is some sort of Microsoft AOL acquisition, where Microsoft, instead of buying Yahoo, which they had toyed around with earlier, buys AOL, merges them into their portal.
Yeah, and the whole idea behind this is, you know, negotiating a search deal between AOL and Microsoft, not that far-fetched. You know, this is something that's going on. So, you know, if there is a search deal between the two companies, then that's probably leading to a likely acquisition. I mean, so it's like, what, you know, whether the source, it doesn't really matter who the source is at this point. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense
to
me.
Even assuming this is true, does Microsoft even need something like AOL? I mean, other than the name, do people really care about what they have? I mean, somebody brought up a point earlier, I think it was in the pre-show, that they do own, AOL owns things like Engadget and Weblogs Inc. So Microsoft would get into the content creation business, but do they have the time and management to get that right?
Well, they already have MSN, yeah, right? And so they have some content. So merging, and Carlson points this out, merging AOL into MSN would give them some benefits because they could find some efficiencies there, which means fire a bunch of people, but, you know, create all kinds of overlapping costs and beef up their content there. It also gives them a big leg up in the search market because right now Bing is growing very slowly. The first anniversary numbers of Bing show it growing a tiny, tiny bit, probably more than everyone expected, and at the expense of Yahoo. So I think they do get something about this from this.
Yeah, they get into sort of into the search game because
I don't know. I think it's web TV all over again for them.
Yeah,
they're just going to buy a piece of property that's going to end up just sitting there and
these
making
guys,
losses.
You know, it's like every few months, I feel like everyone gets bored and goes, you know, so one of us should buy each other. Let's start some negotiations. Let's do a search deal. Let's see how it goes.
Can you imagine Weblogs Inc. as part of Microsoft?
I mean, it's weird. No stories on Windows Phone 7 ever.
Well, a lot of people thought it was going to be weird with AOL running them, and they've continued without any issue, without any major
problems.
That's
because AOL stopped being relevant. That's why they're not really worried about it.
But yeah, well, Microsoft's along that road. They're not there yet. You know, maybe 10, 20 years.
If they buy AOL, they will go right into that nice irrelevant path.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a stupid move for Microsoft, but I don't think it solves anything for them. Like, they may get their $2 billion worth or whatever it is they pay, but does it really address the main issues that Microsoft has?
Well, and are they going to go head-to-head with Google in any sort of search space?
Will that make Microsoft an ISP then as well? I mean, that would be a whole other set of laws to deal with.
Well, no, I think I may be remembering this wrong, but I thought they spun the ISP business out. Separated it. So I don't know that they would buy the ISP. Maybe somebody in the chat room can correct me on that. But let's move on to the AMD Fusion processor. This is going to combine the CPU and the GPU. So you get the video processing and other accelerator capabilities in a single die design, which makes it more power efficient. This isn't an integrated graphics card like Intel puts out. This is one single die for CPU and GPU processors, better able to handle demand operations like HD, media-rich internet, and DirectX 11 games. What do you think of this, IS?
I think it'd be kind of cool. I mean, portable devices, the biggest problem with them is that when you're trying to do anything fun, the batteries die off. And supposedly, this technology is supposed to be more power efficient. So that could be really cool when you want to watch an HD video or play a game. You're actually going to have some decent battery life, especially with battery technologies slowly moving forward. You can actually get some great video and stuff.
So it's a cool thing that's being shown off now, but we're not going to see it for a year or so. And you found a pretty interesting statement in Ars Technica.
I did.
Was it not? No, it was Eric.
It was Eric.
It was excellent Eric.
Yeah. So
Hayes, you should have taken that. You set it right up for you.
I totally
just taken that.
Threw it the wrong way. We need to put initials in the lineup. I'm sorry, Eric. You found an interesting statement here, though.
I did. So Ars Technica is saying that this is going to result in a 4X performance boost. And a quote that I thought was especially interesting that sort of tells everyone why this is important is, Ours says, when the memory controller moves back onto the GPU die and takes the GPU back onto the CPU die, takes the GPU with it, that's going to give an instant one-time boost to the overall platform's performance and efficiency. These kinds of discontinuities, where a major disruptive repartitioning of a standard system architecture drives a one-off performance boost, are quite rare, and they're worth holding out for if you can manage it. They say don't buy a laptop till next year.
Okay.
It's not the first accelerated processing unit anybody's ever seen, but it is AMD getting behind it in a big way. So you may actually see this in computers in a year. That's something to pay attention to, I
think. Yeah, it's something to take into consideration if you're in the market.
Another thing to take into consideration if you're driving an electric car is where the hell are you going to charge it?
Yeah, because that's the problem right now, is that there aren't enough charging stations. So people aren't buying electric cars. And if people aren't buying electric cars, then they don't have money to make electric cars and add charging stations.
So we see
a big catch.
We see a company going forward with some government money to roll out 4,600 electric car charging stations.
Loves it. In theory,
Coulomb Technologies aims to install them in what's that?
It's Coulomb Technologies.
Coulomb?
It's one of those old physics terms.
Coulomb.
That's somewhere in the back of my brain.
In 9 metropolitan areas around the U.S. by September 2011 as part of its Charge Point America program. Project will be supported by Chevy, Ford, and Smart. You know, what's Smart?
It's the little cars, the tiny cars.
The smart cars.
The smart
right,
cars.
Okay. And they will ensure the availability of electric vehicles in those 9 regions and attempt to solve this chicken and egg problem we're talking about.
So this is, great idea. Look, you know, I read the story and went, great, sounds great. My initial question is, okay, so you're out of gas, you go to the pump, you fill up, you know, my car takes, I don't know, a few minutes, whatever, it's like a 15-gallon tank, whatever.
Yeah, I think there was some study that it's like the average time is around 7 minutes
something
or something.
Like that, yeah, sure, maybe you go and tie for some M&Ms or whatever you do at a gas station. But how long is it going to take us to charge our electric cars? Let's say there's a station around the corner from my house. Is it going to take me 7 minutes? Do I have to leave it for a couple hours, go get a sandwich? You know, is there a tenant helping me? Am I swapping out batteries myself? I mean, what are the details of these charging stations? Because I think that really factors in, you know, the convenience of it all. Right now, it's very inconvenient to have an electric car.
Yeah, some of these charging stations would be put in parking lots. So mm-hmm. you park your car and it charges while you're at work or maybe overnight in a public parking garage somewhere. I've heard others, and I don't know if Coulomb is part of this, but there's been others talk about actually taking out your battery and trying to get the time it takes to swap the battery out of your car down to around that same time it takes to fill a tank. But it doesn't say.
So the guy takes your battery, gives you a fresh one that he's already been charging, and then yours gets charged and given to somebody else
exactly.
when they come in.
All exactly.
Right. Maybe there's some job creation here. The battery swap.
Yeah, so you'd have to have a battery attendant.
Yeah.
It doesn't say in the Ars Technica article which way they're going to go with this.
How much will it cost to fill up, so to speak?
That's another question that we don't have an answer to out of this article. This is all still in the planning stations. Although Coulomb plans to have at least 1,000 public charging stations in places by the end of the year. So we will find out soon, with the remainder installed before the end of 2011.
But Elon Musk would know the answer to a lot of this stuff.
Elon Musk is in the news a lot
these days. He is.
And this time it's for good things, not for bad. Although he did say some Russian roulette crazy stuff. Before the SpaceX rocket was launched, but today it was launched successfully and made it into orbit on the first flight.
Go SpaceX!
It took 4 times last time, but this time, oh no.
And they had said, hey, anything we will consider an accomplishment, any sort of orbit, but they got what they wanted.
They sent a dummy payload to the International Space Station. That's what they were going for, right?
That's what they were going for.
The idea of this is that they will take over where the space shuttle left off. And so they will deliver cargo, but not necessarily manned cargo, to the International Space Station. Now, there's also a joint venture between Boeing and Lockheed Martin called the United Launch Alliance. If you're going to pick, you want to go SpaceX or United Launch Alliance? It's kind of like Avengers versus JLA.
I don't know. SpaceX has an X.
Don't look at me. When you're making this comparison,
I'm thinking SpaceX. Especially because they're the only ones who've done a successful launch. They were awarded $3.5 billion in contracts by NASA to deliver the cargo to the ISS through 2016. So this is a big step for privatized delivery of cargo into space.
Yeah, it's interesting when you read the comments of the Wired article. I mean, people are really on both sides of the camp, you know, because some folks are still so upset that, you know, the NASA has shut down so much of its research, and you know, people say, you know, what is this? This is sort of glorified remote little plane thing that they shot up into the air. You know, are we really getting excited about this? It feels like we're going backward, but I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
Congratulations to SpaceX founder Elon Musk for reaching a 1950s level of technology privately.
Someone give him a VCR. Buddy.
Way to go.
Yeah, no, this is one of the few areas where the government's actually been better at things than private industry, but it won't last. We'll see.
Except for a few of those catastrophes.
Well, yes, I guess having lots of success with some catastrophes is still puts you ahead of people who haven't had much of the success yet.
Right.
But it's an interesting question. Once we have allowed private industry to get into this space, will they catch up and perhaps surpass NASA and what they're able to do?
Well, that's their hope anyway, and mine. Let's do it.
Anything that gets us farther into space, I'm all for.
Let's go.
All right, let's take a look at the calendar. What's coming up on the horizon in the tech world?
As we have discussed this week ad nauseum, WWDC starts on Monday. And if you're a Flickr fan, or really anyone on the internet at all, you have seen the pics of Moscone Center already adorned with the beloved Apple logo.
We'll be doing live coverage right here at live.twit.tv starting around 9:30 is when I plan to get in here. And Alex Lindsay will be co-hosting with me. We'll be bringing on all kinds of guests.
Yeah, you guys some donuts.
You're going to come by? And, yeah. You know, it's National Donut Day today.
I know.
I haven't celebrated properly yet.
We screwed that up.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
It's never too late.
No, there's plenty of hours left in the day.
But yeah, so check us out. Starting at 9:30. The actual keynote is scheduled to begin at 10 a.m. These are all Pacific times for the WWDC coverage. We'll be bringing you the play-by-play and color commentary. Me and Alex letting you know just exactly what happens. I'm betting iPhone OS gets the majority of the conversation because it's a developers conference.
Absolutely.
I hear the hot rumors on Pippin, too.
On what? Pippin 2?
Pippin 2, the new video game system from Apple.
It's about time.
I hope it's beige.
But it's going to be beige, and it's going to be beautiful.
But it's not just developer news next week. Oh, no. Internet Week is also kicking off in New York City. The Big Apple.
New York City.
Yeah, they've got internet out there. Who knew? Yeah, you don't hear about the internet much in New York City, but they're doing this Internet Week thing. They've been doing it for a while now. It's sort of a... It's sort of a celebration of the New York tech scene. And I've actually participated in Internet Week, not for a couple of years now, but it's a lot of fun, a lot of parties. Internet Weeks in cities where there are a lot of bars.
It's just an excuse for drinking.
Yeah. For events like the Webutante Ball. The Webutante Ball, they had one last year too. Stuff with, you know, like Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag are nominated for the Webutante King and Queen.
Who are they?
They're MTV people.
So, kind of thing.
The Webutante Ball, I don't know if that's an accurate representation of what Internet Week's all about in New York City, but stuff like that, you know?
Cool parties,
real tech.
The Internet is really for porn. And that's what they'll be celebrating next week.
VHS was also for porn, to bring it full circle.
Bring it full circle.
Yeah, porn is still driving technology.
We found this online MBA.com infographic. I'm a big fan of infographics. Are you?
Certain infographics more than others, but yes.
I know you're a big fan of this one.
I sure am.
What are some of your favorite stats on internet pornography, Sarah Lane?
Okay, well, let's pull up the old internet pornography. Shoot. Now I don't have it open.
40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites, so you are not alone.
No.
2.5 billion emails per day are pornographic.
Yes. Wait a second. How many?
2.5 billion.
So 2.5 billion emails every day are pornographic. That is how many percent of all emails sent every day?
It says 8%.
8% of all emails are pornographic. Let's think about that for a second. 8%?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big percentage.
8 out of every 100, so 4 out of every 50, so 2 out of every 25, so 1 out of every 12, so about 1 out of every 10.
Okay. All right. Okay. Text-based, pictures, video, I guess anything counts.
Spam.
Spam? Oh.
I think spam, you know. Oh, yeah. I don't know if that, I don't know how they figure that.
One of my favorite part of the studies was a study on the least popular day of the year for viewing porn.
Which day do people say, you know what, I'm just not going to view porn today?
That's Thanksgiving, Tom.
Right, because there's football on.
And family.
And they're full of turkey and they fall asleep and forget.
Either in the room or in the next room. The tryptophan plays into it.
A lot of families around.
Nieces and nephews.
Right. Ugh. The nieces and nephews don't want to surf the porn because dad might catch them.
Right.
Everybody's paying attention.
Aunt Margaret's drunk.
The opposite side of that is the most popular day of the week for viewing porn is Sunday.
That would be Sunday.
It can't be football then. Football's not the
reason. Right, exactly. It takes football out. And a lot of people have family dinners
depends
on Sunday.
Depends on what time. Well, and for some people, a very holy day indeed.
Right? Going to church?
Right.
You'd think?
One would assume this is all happening after church is over.
All right.
Maybe the football game, your team wins. It's a celebration of sorts.
Top pornographic search terms are not very surprising, so I'm not even going to go into it. You can guess them off the top of your head.
Although 13% of women apparently admit to watching porn online at work. I don't know who they are.
I know one. No, I don't.
It's not me. I would never admit that.
You never admit it?
No. You kidding?
Did you wear headphones? All right, let's move on to the Geek a Week trading cards. This is my friend Len Peralta who does this. He is attempting to document 52 geeks in 52 weeks at geekaweek.net. I was very honored to be selected for week 13. And coming up week 14 is one of the geeks among geeks, Will Wheaton. So if you go check it out, you can see the trading card that Len creates for each geek, mm-hmm. which has a stylized portrait and then vital facts on the back. And then you also get a podcast with Len and the subject of the Geek a Week having a conversation about their geekiness and what makes them geeky.
How did you feel about being the Geek of the Week last week?
I was pretty honored, actually.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome.
You figure, okay, so 52. I mean, if it was 10, that would be like super, super competitive. But still, if you're one of the top 52 geeks...
I mean, you
over
know,
the year?
And it was very reasonable what Len charged me to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, I say anything under $2,500 is well worth the exposure.
Startled Bunny says, you're not that cross-eyed. I'm not, am I cross-eyed? He definitely made me look a lot better in his art than I look in person. Well, I actually have a much bigger chin in his art than I look in person.
Cross-eyed's coming back.
Yeah, cross-eyed's way in.
Yeah, it's good.
Do you want to get on the Geek a Week train?
I'd love to. Len, if I'm geeky enough for you, let me know.
All right. There, you've heard it. You've heard the
plea. Start a write-in campaign right now.
That's right. I don't have $2,500, though, so.
I asked, do you want? Which would you rather be, Geek of the Week or have a job?
I'd rather have a job.
Wait a second.
He made his choice.
You could have both.
One could lead to the other.
Right,
yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was figuring. So I'll go the proper steps and proper channels. And then maybe I'll make week 52.
That would be a good one.
We'll start a campaign.
Saving
I ask
for
week 52.
.com.
You heard it here. Right, Tech News Today.
All right, let's go to our voicemail. Today we got one from someone who wished to remain anonymous or forgot to say their name. But we know you're in Michigan.
Grand Rapids, to be specific.
We think he's Gerald Ford. Even though Gerald Ford.
Hey guys, loving the show so far. All the talk about data plans and cell phone plans lately. Thought I'd chime in and hopefully Verizon's not listening, but I do not have any cell phone minutes. I just have a pure data plan and I've been using VoIP over Verizon's 3G and so far so good. Haven't paid more than $42 a month and that's for unlimited internet. So not too bad, but I'd let you know.
So there you go. Comp Mike says probably a Pete or a Charles. So we'll just call him Charles. So okay. Charles uses the data only plan and saves the most money and seems to get by just fine.
Yeah, I would love to pay $42 a month. That sounds just great. It would match your shirt.
Yeah. Could you do all your calling? I don't even do that much calling, frankly.
I have like 8,000 rollover minutes right now. I mean, I loathe talking on the phone. I need to be able to talk on the phone, obviously. But I would say it's slim to none usage each month. I would love a data-only plan.
And you could just have Google Voice transcribe all of your phone calls.
Yeah.
And then, for instance, the call we just played would say, Yeah, I just wanted to show so far. Also talk about Jay to play on cell phone plan lately.
Which is good for a laugh.
Yeah.
So there you go. Not only do I not have to talk to anybody in my immediate family, but I have a good laugh, courtesy of Google Voice.
I asked, could you get by on a data-only plan?
Oh, yeah, I would love a data-only plan. I'm with Sarah on this. I hate talking to people on the phone because it's really not efficient as far as I'm concerned. So if they want to call me, I just have it all set to Skype, and that goes to voicemail. So then I do get a transcribed version because it goes to Google Voice. It's all linked up.
Do we feel like people have begun to hate talking on the phone more than they used to just because we have so many other options? I mean, I've never been like a huge phone talker. Some people are just better at it than I am, I think.
I fight with my wife over who has to make a phone call. When there's a phone call that it's kind of like, you know, like, oh, we need to call the landlord or whatever.
Nobody wants to do it.
I hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate having to call a friend that I like, that I want to talk to in real life, that I'd like to see. I'll just text him or her or email or all sorts of
although
blurry.
There are those times when you're in a text conversation and it gets ridiculous and then you just have to give up and call.
Yes.
Because
but I'm usually not the one who gives up.
You don't blink last.
No.
Eric, do you have data only?
No, I don't have data only, but I'm with you guys. Anytime that I have to make a phone call that involves especially being on hold, you know, if it's like just like a 5 minute call, I'll put that off forever.
So why do we all have voice plans?
That's a really good question.
Know.
I feel like we're all
saying
we have family. Yeah.
They don't like to use text only. They don't want to send email only. And
my mom's pretty good on IM. She and I talk every day on IM. Very rarely on the phone.
My sister Twitters. We Twitter at each other all the time.
So then my reason is family. I don't know what your guys is. Why do you have it?
I don't know. No, you know what?
I'm
because I don't want to. I do have to make calls. I have to make calls sometimes, and I don't want to have to make them on a landline.
Right.
Do you have a landline?
I do have a landline still.
Do you?
And I'm pretty close to getting rid of it, but I still am wary about 911 over a cell phone.
Oh yeah.
Mm. And so I keep it for emergencies, also power outage, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But those objections are starting to wear thin at this point because E911 is very good. And the GPS, you know, can locate you now. And frankly, you know, there's all kinds of ways to do power backup so that you can, you know, keep the power up. So I don't know what I'm
doing. Are we all going data only? Is that where we're coming out of this?
Can you do it with AT&T? Did they even offer that?
No. I don't want to say that too quickly, but I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think it's Sprint and T-Mobile that offer the data only plans. And I'm not clear on whether you can do the Skype. You can do how much of that you can do over the data. So you could do it, because if you can do that, then forget it. Why do I need a voice plan?
You must not be able to.
I think they restrict it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, FML.
There you go. No better acronym could apply. Thanks, Anonymous, or Gerald, or Charles.
Charles. Charlie, love
you. On to the emails. You can send them to tnt@twit.tv. Our first one comes from Rich in lovely Cleveland. He wrote it that way. The story about the new Canadian DMCA making it legal to back up a DVD but maintain that it's illegal to break that encryption reminds me of a joke my grandfather used to bust out every summer. You can go swimming as long as you don't get wet.
See what he did there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But it is like that. It's like, yeah, you can back up all the DVDs all day long unless they're encrypted, and then no, you're done.
But if they're not encrypted, then go to town.
Hence the old saying, you can back up your DVDs as long as you don't break the encryption.
Where are my teeth?
Yeah. I has pointed out there's a lot of DVDs that don't have encryption on them.
Yeah, if you like, you know, B-movies, a lot of B-movies don't have DRM on their content, so you can rip them legally. Go figure. Although I would imagine that if it did have DRM content, you could somehow get around it. I have no idea where you could find out information on that.
You know, and Mickey Chan points out that you can do SIP VoIP, and you can have your own server, in which case you can get around any restrictions on apps and stuff like that.
Ooh.
So there you go.
Hey.
Good way to go around.
There's always a way.
Yeah.
Next email comes from Chris T. in lovely Kingston, Ontario, Canada. He says, dear Tom et al., listen to your comment about town criers in episode 3. That was yesterday's show. In fact, many towns in Ontario, Canada still employ town criers. There's even a contest in Britain for criers all over the world. My city's crier is actually the world champion. No idea how that happens. Kingston sounds like a rocking place. The guy, town crier, who's the world champ?
I know Tommy in Kingston, Ontario, but I don't know Chris from Kingston, Ontario.
Maybe...
I had no idea they had a town crier, though. Tommy's been holding out on me.
Maybe Tommy is the town crier.
Are you the town crier, Tommy, in Kingston, Ontario?
Speak up.
Are you the world champion town crier? That just sounds like...
Is town crier still a really sort of analog job? Do they have town crier technology to help out?
Do they still wave the big bell?
You know? Are the town criers actually robots and we're just not aware of what's going on here? Is there a big tech story behind this? Town crier? Is there town crier tech? It's a new show
on
Twit.
Maybe like a megaphone with like a MP3 player with a bell yelling, you know? That's what they all they need right there.
Calidore points out Christchurch has a town wizard.
No.
That is much cooler.
Stop it right now.
Yeah.
New Zealand. One more reason to go.
Yeah.
Town wizards.
I would like to open up Twit New Zealand.
Me?
In Christchurch.
Me too.
With the town wizard.
With the town wizard.
Get a hold of us, wizard. You got a show waiting for you.
All right. Sarah, our first TNT together.
Yay.
Thank you.
Our first show together.
Well, technically, although we both worked on the screensaver.
We both
never
worked
actually
on
were
the screensaver
at the same time.
We've
huh?
never done this type of
I
thing.
I guess you're right. Yeah, me and Whirly
and
had
it wasn't
neither.
As bad as I thought it would be.
No, I was dreading it, but it
me
was
too.
Really it really worked out okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we didn't have to have IAS to separate us.
Well,
no,
but he helped deflect some of the anger.
That was very unnecessary.
It was fun to have you here, IAS.
It was and, great, IAS.
And
thanks for having me, guys.
I would have you plug something.
I can plug stuff.
Whatever
I
you to, got. Yeah.
There's still sites out there. If you want, if you're bored, go to finitecomedy.com. That's right, finitecomedy.com, where you can see every video I've ever done. I used to do a lot of other silly videos that you've probably never seen. So go check that out.
All right. Thanks, Ayaz. And we'll definitely have you back. Appreciate you taking the time and being on. It was fun.
Thanks.
Don't forget, folks, you can email us, tnt@twit.tv is the email address. Our phone number, 260-TNT-SHOW. Give us a call. Leave a voicemail. You can send video. We've gotten a few of them. We haven't played them all, but thanks for those who have sent them. Send them to tnt@twit.tv. And, of course, twit.tv/TNT has all of our episodes and links to the wiki and all that stuff. For Sarah Lane, I'm Tom Merritt. See you next time.
Did you say see you next time?